Going to be picking back up with a series of sermons I'm preaching, and they are of one piece. And so if you hear things that you didn't get yet, you need to go back and listen to about the second Sunday in January on forward to get the entire series. But I'll be putting these in a format, probably for distribution in print, and surely to listen to. I think they're very important foundational models for going forward in ministry to the world right now. Some of you are aware and of and are praying for today's message, and in a certain way, the scripture that I'm going to pick up with in a little bit is where the last message I preached came under attack, and the audio portion of the sermon was lost, and so we want to recover that portion as we preach today. So just keep in mind that there is a place in this sermon for your recovering prayer, that the demonic element will be suppressed and made useless before this message today. So in the first Sunday message, the first Sunday message was God's second relationship. I highlighted that God's second relationship was human beings, his relationship to his creation. God's first relationship was to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A very pleasurable, wonderful relationship that he has hinted to throughout his scripture. The wonderfulness of the Trinity, the triune God. But God's second relationship was with his creation. And then the next Sunday we talked about man's second relationship. Man's first relationship, of course, being with God. And the fellowship they enjoyed pre-fall in the garden. And man's second relationship is another human being. Human being with human being. And that first relationship was male and female. God created them. And so we had a relationship that involved God. It involved a male, and it involved a female. And within that early relationship, there was no hint or tint or tincture of sin. And so it was a covenant love friendship. And that's where we're moving forward from there. Then the third Sunday, we talked about... that was the same Sunday, wasn't it? When we talked about Jonathan and David and introduced their example. One of the finest, most exquisite examples in Scripture of covenant friendship. How the two men were bonded when David went after Goliath. And Jonathan, being an older warrior, was attracted to and drawn to, and they linked together as friends for life. And how they swore between themselves and made an oath. And then we went to David's tragic departure when he saw Bathsheba on top of her house bathing, and how sexual attraction in the wrong direction enters relationships like covenant friendship and destroys. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, to lift this word solidly into the realm of Holy Scripture. Ground it in Jesus Christ himself and glorify Jesus in this message. Help us to hear and think with you, resonate with you. Use the preacher's words when necessary. Bind every unclean spirit that has assignments, not only against individual hearts in this room, against the preacher's heart, but also against the delivery of this message. Jesus, create a canopy of protective love over our hearts that we may hear with humility, simplicity, and conviction what you say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So if the basic human relationship in creation is covenant friendship, then there needs to be an examination of that in today's context. Because we know that marriage is under attack. We know that families are under attack. We know the entire stability of civilization is under attack. And we wonder, how is it being done? Well, it's done at the fundamental level of covenant friendship. The relationship that God intended for man to have with God and for a human to have with another human being. Very crucial that we realize that the basic primal attack was in the garden. The relationship Adam and Eve had with God as they walked there in purity. You remember that when they recognized that they were naked, they became ashamed. But up until that time, their nudity, their nakedness had no meaning or bearing to them. And what the creation was doing in procreation, in furthering creation, the animals were doing and the humans were to do without shame. But today I want to focus on love. And especially as we approach this topic in this sermon, I know that you will be praying that God will open your understanding. I covered that covenant friendship is not only possible between two men or two women, but it is a crucial part of existence to have these same-sex friendships. That we have something to share from God that is not exclusive of God, but has God in it. And so, it's not just me and my friend or me and my buddy, but it's me, my God, and my buddy. It's me, my God, and my covenant friend. I told you that I have never been a woman. I'm not planning to be one. But I checked with women and found that it was equally true with women. Women I respect and appreciate their opinion. That it's also true of two women as it is of men. That there can be a kind of love and a bond in friendship between two same-sex individuals that is exquisite. That is beyond necessary once you discover it. You do anything to protect it and live for. Among men, it's the way we sharpen one another and hold one another accountable. Among men, it is a way that we teach boys how to be men and how not to be men. For women, there are many other advantages, and I think they have to do with what it is essentially to be a female, to be a woman, to be feminine. And all of it, a part of the character and nature of God. Male and female, He created them in His own image. He made them. So this is all considering that it's absent of sexual attraction. We'll get into that, believe me, in a couple weeks. And if you think I'm going to talk about somebody's sin other than your own, why would I do that when I've got so many good ones of my own and I see so many juicy ones here? Why would we preach sermons about sin that doesn't affect you? So yes, we may talk about same-sex attraction, but we've got to go to the hetero attraction too. Absent of sexual attraction as a threat to covenant friendship, we can have these relationships that are pure at the very core, that involve a deep, abiding love, even approaching the love of married life. So, what's love got to do with this stuff? What's love got to do with it? Who's saying that? Well, because of the scriptural beauty of David and Jonathan's relationship, let's use that same-sex relationship to talk about covenant friendship. The last time I quoted a scripture, Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Remember that. There are friends who are closer than family. There is a brother who is closer than a friend brother who is closer than a biological brother. And so today we come to talking about covenant friendship as a covenant bond of love. between two friends. I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 20 and recover some ground and say words that you might have heard, but maybe you didn't. Covenant bond of love between two friends. Here it is. 1 Samuel 20, 17. I mentioned that these two had been drawn to one another. God bonded them together in a setting of warfare, in a setting of a kingdom setting between a prince and a shepherd boy. So 1 Samuel 20, 17. And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. I don't need to explain that sentence to you, do I? This is a love that is beyond casual friendships and acquaintances. 1 Samuel 20, same chapter, verse 42a. 42, the first half. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace." Listen to the parts of this sentence. "Because we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever.'" The Lord be between thee and me. Sounds like we're standing at the altar for a marriage, doesn't it? It sounds like we're forming an official contract covenant relationship, doesn't it? And that's exactly what it is. This is an oral contract between two people and God, that they will be bound by the heart in loving friendship. This is covenant friendship. Whether it's male and male, female and female, or female, male. And those relationships are often the target of acute attacks. Very first attack in the garden was against God's credibility with Eve and Adam. And did God say? And hearsay evidence in a friendship, we know that if we entertain that it destroys covenants. And so sin entered covenant relationship and broke it between God and Adam and Eve. But look, David cried and wrote a lament, a song for Jonathan in 2 Samuel 1, verses 25 and 26. "How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain on your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been to me. And listen, your love to me was extraordinary, surpassing the love of women." And I know that there are women, and I know that there are men who are brave enough to assert that this has been a fact in their own life, that there have been same-sex relationships that were founded on this kind of love and were deeper than any other relationship they had in many ways. What's love got to do with it? 2 Samuel 11, verses 2 through 4. It happened, this is when Satan began to mess with the last message. So put that prayer in high gear. 2 Samuel 11, verses 2 through 4. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's palace, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. And so David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" So David sent messengers and took her. And she came to him, and he lay with her. Now you can read the rest of that chapter and get the sense of what all went on. How one sin multiplied itself into a spider web of disaster. And that's what we're going to come to here in a minute, is this idea that once this covenant kind of friendship is set aside for casual sexual attraction, that when we ask in our relationships, why do I feel so physically attracted? Is this the only way I can love this person is physically? You've got a problem. And Satan has got that flipped upside down for us today, so that these young people, we've got to teach them without yelling, and I know I'm yelling. Do you know they believe there's nothing wrong with shacking up first, testing each other out, taking a test drive? They think that's the way it's done. They don't know that it's abhorrent to God's word to be shacking up before marriage. We have to find a way to teach it in love and patience, because they don't know. You know why they don't know? Their parents didn't teach them. You know why the parents didn't teach them? Because that's our generation. And we know we did things. Joy didn't. But I may know a guy or two that did. And so with the feeling that the finger's pointing back at us, we don't talk to them about casual drug use. We don't talk to them about casual sex. We don't talk to them about attraction or other things like self-interested sexual attraction. We just avoid all of it, and it becomes secret and thus shameful, thus tempting material in our lives, and on and on. What's love got to do with it? Well, sexual attraction is one beautiful way of expressing love for each other, but only one. It's not the highest. It's not, even though it's wonderful, it's not even close. This is not on the screen, but in Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, commandment breakers. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." I had a wonderful conversation in Bible study a week or two ago, I think, about heaven and how there was no marriage, and how that was because we relate to one another, everybody in heaven, as it's like we're all married. The love we hold for one another will be so far above any love or experience you've had in this life that true agape love will be abundant in heaven. We'll be in love with each other on the highest kind of love. But we are not interested in searching or attaining a perfect love, neither for God nor other human beings. And so the tainting. The Apostle Paul, this came to me just a little while ago. I looked it up. I know some of you were staring at, you were burning holes in me while I was looking this up on my phone in church. 1 Corinthians 7:6-9. We're going to preach the rest of this chapter in a couple of weeks. So bring the towel. You're going to want to bring towelettes with you to church to wipe the sweat off as I preach from 1 Corinthians 7. But for now, let's go to the sanitized portion. 1 Corinthians 7:6-9. This is Apostle Paul writing. "Now as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and to the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single, as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion." Paul is hinting here that for him, his single-minded love and devotion as a single person for God, he didn't want to invite distraction with another covenant relationship like marriage. He said it's far better for a single person to remain single. That way they can be single-mindedly devoted in their love to God. But if you gotta, then by all means get married. Don't burn with passion. And some of you widows and single people, you know. And so you practice a lifestyle of covenant chastity, celibacy. And that's out of devotion and Christian duty for God that you do that. But let's go on and push into further into 1 Corinthians by going to chapter 6. This is where the audio went dead last time. Paul is warning against prostituting your love. And now I want you to see this of a piece, because we just came from chapter 7. We know that Paul has a thought in mind, and he's tracking with it. There's context. And so this is part of that. He says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take then the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." In other words, don't prostitute God in your body. What has sexual attraction got to do with it? Because this is a particular kind of sin. But Paul says, singles it out. And he says, this has special danger. And I'll tell you why. And many of us have had multiple sexual partners in life. We know how the struggle that mingling becomes in our lives. An unsanctified mixture of soul. We become muddy and mixed. Marriage is a covenant established each and every time. After there's been a proper repentance and reconciliation, or no, but reconciliation to God, separation from one individual and marriage to another, God makes that clean if you ask Him to. It can be purified and perfect, even if you've been married three times. It's not a matter of God not cleaning up the damage. It's what sexual activity does. Outside of covenant love relationship, we do become muddy. The two become one flesh. The two become six. The two becomes 12. 12 becomes 24. And by the time the 50th person is involved, the very first actor is still with that person. You don't think that's true. You've not done prayer ministry with people who are victims of their own abortions. Who've had multiple abortions. People who had their spirit and their understanding darkened by multiple sexual attraction. And they say, "I'm a sexual being. It's good, and it's good and wholesome, and God loves it." And if you're one of those people today, you may be having difficulty connecting to what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, you're darkened. You're muddy. Your soul and your spirit has become polluted. Only Jesus can straighten that out. And Jesus does. Talk to women who've had multiple abortions. Nothing but tragedy in their soul. Nothing but chaos and heartache. It's like a grenade went off somewhere deep inside. You may be a person who's had abortion. You need to know God can restore you too. Our sexual attraction is a reward in covenant love. It's not bait. In covenant love, sexual attraction becomes a wonderful and beautiful expression of God's creative purpose and reproductive purpose. The two can be naked and not ashamed. But there's always shame attached to pornography, to sex that's gone bad. And in the advertising we mentioned last time, they say dirty, it's nasty, buy it. It's adult. Secret behavior of housewives. You know, that sort of thing. I never have actually seen that stuff. You don't have to wonder about the damage done to your relationship with God through unsanctioned sexual activity. But if you've ever been in a loving sexual relationship, a heterosexual man-to-woman relationship, you know that it approaches the heights of everything God can give you to experience in life. And it's reserved for marriage, a covenant-loving contract. Covenant friendship is covenant love, not covenant sex. Covenant friendship is entering into a relationship with God at its center. It glorifies God. And if it's in a marriage, it's in the finances. If it's in a marriage, it's in the family planning. It's in the sex. It's in the bedroom. It's in your entertainment. It's everywhere. God is the third party present. But outside of that, it can only end in ruin and hurt. So I'm so grateful today that Jesus can make us new over and over again. But it's not an excuse to sin. Now next week we're going to look at marriage and the threats to covenant love within marriage. And I hope you'll invite someone to be here with us and hear and participate in that. And then we'll kind of wrap up after 2 weeks of looking at those kinds of relationships. What it means to be single or single again. What it can mean to have this opportunity to deepen your covenant love with God instead of have sexual attraction with a member of another sex. Perhaps today you're spiritually broken and sexuality's just been a part of it. Perhaps today you need to know that there's good news in this. Well, you're all looking at me like somebody died. I mean, you're listening. Just know that there's always newness in Christ. There's always forgiveness. And not just that, but being restored like new again. Amen. Always available, even if you've sinned in any kind of way. So we'll look at attraction, we'll look at temptation, and we'll look at what the devil's been doing to unhinge the world. So the altar will be open during this time. Anne's going to play briefly, and then we'll conclude our service.